Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olaleo.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. If you're listening very late in the previous show, you'll know that Sean Mapes is not with us. Sean Mapes will be back tomorrow. I don't even really know how this came about, why he needs to be producing 6 to 8 for the Glenn Davis show, Soccer Matters, but that's what he's doing. And look, we're short on bodies when it comes to producing. So AJ's back with us. He'll be here after filling in most of last week. He'll be here today. And then Sean will be back tomorrow. So Sean and I had on the fly decided to react to one list per day because it's list season. It's particularly for football content people where they have to make a list, like ESPN is in the middle of ranking rosters and position groups. And, of course, yesterday we did something regarding best quarterbacks in the SEC, not really taking it seriously, just acknowledging that this is what people do. So it was going to be Sean's thing, and I'm not springing it on AJ, so I got to come up with a list, and AJ and I will react to that a little bit later today on the show. But what happened last night was the Astros stabilizing. If we go back to Sunday afternoon, top of the fifth inning, you're down 3-0 to the Mariners, and you're what felt like on the way to getting swept and being only 2 games up in the division after having a very comfortable lead for the better part of the year. You scratch and run across in the top of the fifth on a error, and then Cam Smith comes through, Christian Walker comes through, and all of a sudden you're up 5-3 because Trammell hits a home run. All of a sudden you're up 5-3 through 6, and you keep tacking on runs. You wind up winning 11-3. So you go from what seemed like you're going to be down 2 or up 2, because I even saw someone tweet when the Astros were down 3-0 that this feels like a real giant mountain to climb considering the lineup. Well, the lineup came through, and thanks to Bryce Matthews, they came through last night. He hits his first 2 home runs of his career off of Zach Gallen. The Astros win again. The Mariners lost again last night. So all of a sudden, you go from what felt like being only 2 games up in the division to having a 5-game lead. And if you were getting a little tight, I'm sure some people getting a little tight, even though there's plenty of time to go. Some concern was building, particularly from the people who use social media just simply react to Astros baseball. Now we breathe a sigh of relief. You get good enough performances from your pitchers following Hunter Brown on Sunday. Hunter Brown was a little concerning. We continue to discuss what is going on there. Hopefully it's just a little blip. But the rest of the staff came through on Sunday. And of course, you got a good effort last night. Good enough effort to take care of the Diamondbacks, who were on a 4-game winning streak. You had Colton Gordon do his job. When he's going 5 2/3, you know, he's spraying 7 hits across those 5 2/3, but doing enough. Only gave up 2 earned runs, walked a couple, which is something he doesn't normally do. And you get the contributions from Bryce Matthews against Zach Gallen, 6-3 final. You're up. You're 5 games up now. And now you'll see if you can win this series, because you're going to have Fromber going in this series as well. So let's get back on track and actually win a series. The Astros haven't done that in a while. But even last night, it was true to form, at least over the recent stretch, where it was the 12th straight game in a row where they were down in a game, where they did not score the first run. The lead for the Diamondbacks didn't last long. They take a lead in the bottom of the first off a single by Carroll. And then the Astros fight right back, thanks to the Matthews home run. So they got it right back, but it's still been a thing where they can't jump out the leads. Thankfully, it didn't cost them on Sunday or yesterday. So 6-3 the final. You get what you got from Colton Gordon, and then the combo of Souza, O'Kurt, and Hader closed it out. So that's good. That's good. You start off a series right, something you have not been able to do since the Dodgers series, I believe, even winning game one of a series, considering how poorly they had played in the last 2 weeks or so. When you have the front end going into the All-Star break and then coming out of it against the Mariners, and now you're waiting on guys to come back healthy. That'll always be the issue until those guys are back. So Jordan gave an update. In fact, we'll get to that when we come back. Thanks to the previous show. We're already past break because that's just who they are. Yes, I am part of that show, but when they do things like that, I separate myself from them. So Fromber goes tonight. We would expect Fromber to do the Fromber thing. Sorry, I'm just laughing at something on ESPN because they're showing a highlight of Dak Prescott throwing a touchdown pass to Brandon Cooks from 2023. Now, it was initially tweeted by someone yesterday that was Dak throwing it to George Pickens, and that went viral. But with how Twitter or X, whatever you call it, how it works, if people just grab it from someone else, you can click on where the source of the video is. And if you click on the source and the tweet, it's from 2023. And I thought to myself, how could anyone think Brandon Cooks is George Pickens? George Pickens won't wear the number 3 in his life. It's number 3. It's a shorter receiver. Why does anyone think that's current?
Well, he's wearing number 3, but I guess that's why they got confused.
Oh, that's okay. He is wearing number 3.
Yeah, but
that video was of Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, and then I saw on First Take today, Molly Kierum, she said like it was George Pickens, but from a Brandon Cooks thing too, so she got it confused as well.
Yeah, this is what I'm watching. It's on First Take, the video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's on television right now. So, okay, he is wearing 3, so that's why they got confused. But I went and clicked on the video. It's Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, okay, I was wrong on the 3 thing, but Brandon Cooks looks nothing like George Pickens running around, standing still. He's not George Pickens. There's a difference in size, a great deal. So that's on, so ESPN got fooled. It happens. They got fooled, but whatever. So sorry, I was distracted by that because I can't believe after seeing that video and simply doing the research of clicking on a button to tell me that was from 2 years ago, they didn't do that.
You think since they're so obsessed with the Cowboys, they would have it right?
Considering how much they love to cover them, they could at least get that video right. And instead, they didn't. They just saw it. The producer grabbed it, threw it on there. And now, for anyone who did any bit of research, they look foolish. But for most people, they won't know. So it just looks like in their first practice, Dak threw a pass to George Pickens for a touchdown on the first play of practice. Their first 11-on-11. So clearly, that connection is already coming through, except something from 2 years ago. But back to the Astros. Fromber on the mound tonight. Hopefully, he'll go against Eduardo Rodriguez and get that win. And then we can talk about maybe the Astros turning things around and going on a winning streak themselves. So we'll get into the update on Jordan when we come back. There's also a small one on Jeremy Peña. Something that's not very definite, but if you want to take it this way, at least it seems positive. So we'll get to that. If you want to call in, you can 713-780-3776. That's the number. Me and AJ till noon. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Jeff here. He wants to talk some Astros, specifically Hunter Brown and McCullers. What's up, Jeff? Jeff, welcome.
What's going on, Del? How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, so if you have to throw one out for the season, are you throwing McCullers out or Hunter Brown? And why?
Oh, this is an easy one. Hunter Brown, I know the last 3 starts haven't been very good, but Hunter Brown has shown for the better part of a season plus now that he's one of them. He was in consideration to be one of the best pitchers in baseball, start the All-Star game. McCullers is a guy, for the most part, you have no idea what's going to happen, and it's leaning towards bad
starts are happening. So I don't know that if he even is still, if he's healthy when it comes playoff time, if the Astros do make the playoffs, I don't know if he's even on this roster, the playoff roster. I know Brown will be. Certainly some of it would have to do with Arrigetti and what he's like, or and Javier and Garcia, if those guys are back. But if we just look at what they currently have, would you rather have McCullers on the mound than what you got from Colton Gordon last night?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know that – I know we're using if the guys we know are available, but what if it's not the guys we know? Would it make any sense for Joe Espada to start McCullers over a Colton Gordon or Brandon Walter right now? That's how far below the standard that McCullers is. And it's surely has a lot to do with the time off and trying to find his way. But that's not a guy who's a playoff caliber pitcher right now. You can't make him your number three right now and feel good about it. So I think he's far down the list of potential guys that they could roll out there to be a starter. Hell, I don't know if he even is a bullpen guy. That will probably have to be something that is determined once you have more guys that you can pitch on a consistent basis as starters, and then maybe you move Lance to the bullpen and see if he kind of finds himself there and maybe he can contribute. But I don't see Lance McCullers, as it stands right now, being on that playoff roster.
Hunter Brown's making me a little nervous, to be honest.
I get it. I understand it. It's not what we want, particularly when we thought we had two guys who we could depend on. Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown is going through a bit of a lull. That's all. At least that's what we hope. That's what we hope it is. That's three starts. If it gets to four, I'm sure the anxiety will grow. But I'm going to go, hey, he's been really, really great. Maybe this is just a little blip. At least that's all I can hope for, because if it's more than a blip, then we got real problems.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope so. And good show again, and we'll catch up soon, my friend, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Yeah, thank you. I get the anxiety over Hunter Brown, because we depend on him. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, those are the two guys, start after start, you can lean on and go, at least we're going to not only just be competitive, have a real shot to win the game. If Hunter Brown's going to fall into, we really got to put runs on the board to win one of his starts, that doesn't say much for the Astros' future when it comes to a real shot of contending. Of course, another guy that would help in their contention is Yordan Alvarez. The update on him is the hand is something they're just not sure about. That's the issue. There was some talk about whether there should be surgery. Yordan says the injury is in a spot where surgery normally doesn't happen, so that's why there has not been a surgery there. He just says he needs to rest it, and he'll come back and play when he thinks it's going in the right direction. So we remember early in this process, Dana Brown talked about if Yordan could be tough enough to play. It was more like, hey, if he can deal with the pain management, maybe he can come back and play. It turns out if the bone is actually broken, maybe it's not simply about pain. Right now, we're at a point where Yordan received some injections back in early July for the hand to reduce inflammation, and now we're just waiting to see if he can get to a point where he thinks he can swing a bat without pain. And right now, he feels good. It's heading in the right direction, but they still think it's going to take a bit longer than anyone wants before he can actually return. So he said he's swinging the bat at about 60 to 65% intensity. The Astros and the Astro players love to give us percentages about things, whether it be the ability for a guy to come back or how hard he's swinging the bat. So that's where we stand with Yordan. He's hitting the ball off a tee. He's been doing that for a couple of days. And he did also on Monday, or yesterday, excuse me, hit the ball with some soft toss. So we're inching ever closer. Peña, on the other hand, is one where there's less of an explanation for what's going on. It's just that he's really close to hitting some live pitching, not to being back in the lineup, but hitting some live pitching. They expect him to do that in the next couple of days in Florida, according to Joe Espada. So according to Espada, barring a setback or really just how things are playing out, expect Peña back before we see Alvarez. So the Yordan thing may be ever closer to we're talking mid-August, maybe later. But they do expect Peña back, hopefully, maybe before August. Now I'm just guessing. Maybe before August begins, but certainly on a path to get back before Yordan does. So that's kind of the injury stuff right now. Of course, the pitchers are working their way back. All those guys are either pitching like Argetti and Corpus or the FCL or off a mound, various stages of getting back to the big club. So that's kind of an injury update on the Astros. I got distracted by some football stuff before we went to break last go around. You know, a lot of people say it's been a long off season. I don't really ever feel that way. When football comes back, I'm like, okay, football's back. I'm not counting down the days. Like we had, I think Julian called in this morning and said we're Kyle Juszczyk amount of days away from the season being back. If you're not a nerdy 49er fan, let me explain it to you. Kyle Juszczyk wears number 44. So we're, I guess, 44 days away from football, the NFL season being back. It's not something I keep track of. Like, okay, training camp is here. We have joint practices. I see that. Oh, look, there are games. They're preseason games. And then then the season's here. I'm not a countdown person. Football doesn't run me the way it runs other people. I'm not saying you have nothing else to focus on. I'm sure everyone has a very fruitful life. I just don't do the countdown to football. I mean, if I want to entertain myself with Summer League, I'll do that. Hell, if I want to watch The Gilded Age on HBO Max, I'll do that. I find things to pay attention to, but we are getting closer, and that's why we have list season, and we'll get to that a little bit later. AJ, are you someone who marks off on your mental calendar that we're one day closer to football season?
Not necessarily, but I definitely do look forward to it. But
look, I get it. Right. I love football, college football particularly. But you know what? I always think of it as, oh, look, the season's here. I'm not hyper-focused on, I can't believe we're two more sleeps until until training camp. That's not who I am.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, I equally love, like, for example, Marvel and DC as much as I love basketball and football. Yeah, so it's kind of like
stuff. I got stuff to do.
Right.
And then when football comes, there's another thing for me to look at. That's all it is. As you said, like, I got Spider-Man stuff. If I want that, if I want to revisit, I watch Superman. I got the new Alien TV show coming up. I watched the trailer for Predator Badlands, which looked pretty good, the new trailer for that. So we're multifaceted, yeah. I guess is what we say. But Julian, find a 49 with the number 43 tomorrow. I don't know. I guess. But yes. For you football junkies, we're getting close. And along with that, we're going to have our fantasy football league here on ESPN 975. If you don't know what that is, you should be paying attention, because on Thursday, we're going to give away the first couple spots. So what it is it's myself, John, Lance, and Sean. We're going to have a fantasy football league with eight of you. Now, it's four winners plus whoever they want to add to the league. So that's important, because along with getting in the Fantasy Football League, you get to spend two nights at the Golden Nugget, not with us per se, but we're going to be around. We're going to have our draft August 28th. You guys should be there if you're in it. It's a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, $200 food and beverage credit, and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So on Thursday, we're going to give away the first spot for that, and we're going to be doing that every Thursday through August 24th. This one's going to be on air. We might do some social media stuff as well. So if you can be in Lake Charles on, I believe, the Wednesday night and Thursday night, because that's for the listeners, Wednesday night, Thursday night, so the 27th and 28th for the listeners, while we will be there the 28th and 29th for our shows. If you can be there 27th, 28th, lock in. Be aware. John and Lance are going to be giving away a spot for you guys to be in the Fantasy Football League with us for that draft. And of course, Golden Nugget's great. Stay in the hotel. They have great restaurants. And of course, if you like gambling, no matter what your flavor is, whether it be like the slots like Lance, you like cards like John, you can do that at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Just a couple hours away. I've been there quite a bit over the last year or two, and it's a good time. They always treat us very well. They'll treat you well as well. So So we're doing that starting on Thursday. Okay, we'll go to break with that. But before we do that, I want to tell you about another place that'll treat you very well. It's the people over at Monument Chevrolet. Just go to monumentchevrolet.com to check out what they have to offer. They have great EV vehicles. They have great trucks, cars, everything you might want in a dealership. It's there at Monument Chevrolet. So once you see what they have to offer, you can certainly head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And once you get on the lot, you're going to meet the great salespeople there. Hell, everyone there is great. But the salespeople are kind of how you get introduced to the experience at Monument Chevrolet. And they understand. Because they've been in business for over 50 years, they understand what the car buying experience should be like and what it shouldn't be like. They're not pushy. They're friendly. They also understand you don't want to be on the car lot for the entire day. If you have an idea of what car you want, they're going to make sure you get into that car, the best car for you, and at the best price for you as well. And this week is EV Blazer week. So if you're into the EV Blazer, you get 0% APR on the 2025 EV Blazer for 36 months. It's maybe time for you to join the 21st century and save money and style on that luxurious EV Blazer. We do the car of the week thing every week, and this week it's the great EV Blazer. So check out that Blazer on the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and then head on out there in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And as always, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So let's actually talk a little football, at least contracts involving some of the prominent players in the game. Trey Henderson using social media to let you know that things aren't going well with the Bengals. He posted a picture of him being in Florida because the Bengals and he are nowhere near a deal. He says their offer is ridiculously low. Ridiculous how low it is. So their primary pass rusher isn't in camp. The Bengals have had these issues the last couple of years when it comes to paying their guys. They relented on Higgins. And Chase, pretty much because Chase said, if you don't pay Higgins, I'm not going to be a Bengal. So they figured out a way to keep both receivers. You may see that become a real problem when it comes to filling out the rest of the roster. Maybe Henderson is suffering from that. We just gave two receivers big money. We're not looking to give you any money, at least not to the level you think you deserve. And, of course, Shamar Stewart is the other big issue for the Bengals. He's a rookie out of Texas A&M. There was some not founded speculation because he was around the A&M facility that he could go back to school. A&M's coach Mike Elko said he's not playing for us this year. Stop talking about that. So I guess either he's going to be a Bengal or maybe he enters a draft. I'm not sure how that works because we don't see this very often. But Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, explained their side of the story. Shamar Stewart's side is, you did this for your previous couple of picks. Why won't you do the same for me? And the Bengals are saying, well, I'll tell you, I'll let Mike Brown tell you. This, remember, this is a 90-year-old man saying these things, 90-year-old rich man, so take it for what it is. But this is Mike Brown on why there's an impasse when it comes to Shamar Stewart.
Basically, it turns on whether out years are guaranteed if he gets involved in conduct detrimental to football. Well, what does that mean? Detrimental to football in recent years has been violence to women. That's about the one that comes to mind. There are others probably, but that's the one that I think of. Well, if we get a player who gets involved in something like that or does something that is just unacceptable, guess what? I don't want to pay him. I really don't. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. And so we say that if he got involved in conduct detrimental, we'd have the right to terminate the guaranteed part for the back years. he says, or his agent says, oh no, you can terminate the guaranteed part only for the remaining part of the year in which the event occurs. Oddly, something like this has never occurred in my memory with us. I don't think it's going to occur.
Now, of course, you hear the old white man talk about jail for a player, and people get a little shook and get a little agitated by it. So be it. Like I said, it's an old white guy, a lot of money saying old white guy things. Whatever. It does bother me. It's whatever. It's whatever it is. I don't know if that there was any ill intent, but you can make your determination if you so choose. The issue is the Bengals need ballers on the defensive line. They don't have many right now, and they spent the first-round pick on Shamar Stewart, and with Trey Hendrickson not available currently, they're in a tough spot. They hired a defensive coordinator because Lou Anarumo, who got a lot of acclaim for shutting down Patrick Mahomes in that second half of that AFC title game that they went on to win and get to a Super Bowl, was ineffective last year, so they needed a change. You don't give your guy who you just hired to fix things a lot of tools when the guys you expected to be a couple of your top pass rushers aren't available. So Henderson's in Florida. I don't know where Shamar Stewart is. Ironically, he's from Florida too. I don't know if he's hanging out there. Maybe he's still hanging around College Station. Who knows, working out. But the Bengals are a bit of a mess there. And AJ, the two guys, the two rookies that are not signed currently are Shamar Stewart and Quinshon Judkins. One's a Brown, one's a Bengal. One is not being signed because theoretically he may get in trouble in the future. The other one's not signed because he's actually in trouble. Right. Quinshon Judkins had his issues, so he is still unsigned. And that's it. After all that worrying about all the second-round picks not being signed, they're all in camp, all ready to go, except for the two guys who were drafted by the Ohio team. So the Texans don't have such issues unless you want to talk about Jimmy Ward. He may be in line for a suspension. We remember his off-the-field issues that happened earlier this year. But everyone else looks like they're ready to go. Joe Mixon expected to be good to go. He was in a boot earlier in the offseason. CJ's general soreness apparently has gone away, so we shouldn't expect anything but the quarterback to be throwing the football to start camp when the Texans open up camp. So outside of trading for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the Texans didn't do a lot to make noise. They just went about their business. The question is, did that business make them a better football team? The draft, you like adding to the receiver core because you needed some help there. You traded for Christian Kirk, and now with your quarterback apparently healthy and ready to go, the question will be about your offensive line, and that question will hopefully it's already resolved, but I imagine camp will determine some of those spots. I'd love for it to be something where there aren't really camp battles. Everything's figured out because they have a solid five that they believe in, but I think that is me asking for too much. So while camp can be boring, I think the Texans and how their season will go, camp will play a big part of it because they have to find a cohesive five-man unit. And hell, considering how injuries take place in the NFL, you probably need a solid six or seven, because I know we're focusing on the top five because that's the lineup that's going to go out there week one. But do the Texans have seven good offensive linemen? Because you can just assume a guy's going to get banged up. Who's going to be your swing tackle? Do you have a third guard that you can depend on that has some versatility? Those are all things that need to be sorted out. I'm not sure they're even deep enough to get to six or seven right now, at least guys you want out on the field. I mean, we've seen Patterson and Scruggs, and right now they're not slated to start. And I guess if you want to throw them in there as at least we know they've played NFL football, cool. But not at a high enough level where they could keep their jobs and not be challenged by guys who were average to below average in their other spots. Lakin Thompson's a vet, and D'Amico would know him from both their times in San Francisco. But Lakin Thompson was I guess I will be kind to say, fine with the Jets. Fine. He's not an above average guard at this point in his career. And the question for the Texans is, do they have an above average player on their line? I guess that would go to Tytus Howard, but he's even playing a new position. So they got some things to figure out. And I think it even just goes beyond that top five. Can they get to six or seven that they depend on? Like the guys that are going to be active week to week, can they get to a number where they're not worried? That'll be up to Cole Popovich, and hopefully Nick Casario's given him enough bodies to make that work. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with some pettiness. And I love pettiness. But this sound that we're going to play isn't really the focus of the conversation because, sure, an athlete is petty about another athlete. But the reaction to the pettiness I take issue with. We'll get to that when we come back.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, over the weekend, we had the WNBA All-Star Game. You had the shirts being worn by the players, pay us what you owe us. I guess the star of the weekend was Stud Buds. If you didn't know who that was beforehand, I'm right there with you. But Stud Buds was one of the stars of the weekend. It's a duo, by the way. It's two people. And just to inform you, and they were all about it, streaming, having clips up on social media, whatever. But as far as the takeaway from the weekend, it was the women who play in that league think they're owed more than what they are being offered with the new CBA coming up. Of course, there's the financials of the new Mark TV deal, which is going to be upwards of $2 billion, so they think they deserve more than 9%. You can get into that debate, what you think they're worth and what they're owed, considering in the past the reporting is that the league is not profitable. Of course, what's that coming from? Is that coming from the league, the same people who own the NBA, which would tell you during labor negotiations that they're not profitable either when they're trying to limit how much they're handing the players? Now, I believe the NBA, it's a 50-50 split, so certainly one of the more generous CBAs, at least when it comes to revenue sharing. So the women won a little bit more than 9%, certainly. We'll see what they get. But the quote from the weekend was this from Kelsey Plum. She's sitting next to Sabrina Ionescu, and they're discussing the shirts and how those came about. And then she drops this bomb out of nowhere that people took offense to.
That was a very powerful moment. We didn't, at least as players, we didn't know that was going to happen. So I think it was kind of like a genuine surprise. But the T-shirt, just United Front, was determined this morning. That we had a meeting for, and you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But no, we were just we had a very
not really needed to be mentioned.
I'm trying to make a situation light, okay? But yeah, no, I think it was just all of us getting on the same page for the game. We wanted to do something that was just united and collective, and I thought that it was a very powerful moment and got the point across. And you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything.
Now, Sabrina Ionescu is the one saying, I don't know why that needed to be mentioned. Now, whether you think she was just joking or you think she was taking a shot at Caitlin Clark, whatever it is, there becomes a talking point about how come these women don't understand what Caitlin Clark means to the league. And you guys were sleeping in the same rooms and on trips, and you were flying commercial before she got there. And while some of that may be true, hell, maybe all of it is true. I don't know if you guys have ever, and I say to the people who are reacting in a certain way, like Colin Cowherd reacted in that way, and it's not unique to him. A lot of people are taking the stance of, you guys would still be in the doldrums if not for Caitlin Clark. I would say, have you ever met a competitive athlete before? They're not going to bend the knee just even if what you're saying is true. If you think back to the 80s and Michael Jordan and what he was doing to expand the profile of the league, do you remember any archival footage, because it's so long ago, of the Pistons and the Celtics going, man, we're really glad Michael's here, because if not for Michael, our NBA Finals games would still be on tape delay. No, that's not how athletes react. It's not how competitive people period react. That's another person in your field, and whether you think it's jealousy or pettiness, they look at Caitlin Clark and saying, you are someone I'm going to come at, go at your head anytime you want. Now, yes, Kelsey Plum and what she said was the epitome of petty. It's taking it to a level that even one of the other players is like, I don't know if you should do that. I'm not sure why you did that. But as far as the general reaction to the player simply not bending the knee to Caitlin Clark, that's just how sports is. And I will assume that people are asking or suggesting these players do treat her a certain way is because it's a sport you don't really care about for the most part, and you've only started to pay attention because of one person, and now you think everyone should be deferential to her. That's not how competitive people work. That's what I'm taken aback by, the assumption that it would ever go away where they're like, yeah, you know what? Caitlin's great. We love her. We're glad she's here. I know her job is to make our jobs tougher and beat us on the court, but we're so happy she's here. When have you ever met any real athlete who you would respect talk like that? No one talks like that. Stop it. Cut it out. That's all. Kelsey Plum, very petty, but I appreciate it. But everyone else, it's sports. I'm telling you, if one of your own players, let's go to a sport you love. Think of a sport you love. And one of your own players was deferential to Luka like that. I use Luka because AJ's a big fan of Luka. Let's say after a game where Luka went for 35 and 10, the Lakers come to town, they put 35 and 10 on the Rockets. And in the postgame presser, all the Rockets can do is praise Luka and what he means for the sport. How would the general Rocket fan respond to those players? You wouldn't be like, you know what? They're right. Luka's great for the game. You'd be like, hey, I thought you guys are dogs. That's not what I want out of my athletes. They're athletes. Athletes do this. I just don't understand why people don't get that when it comes to this. Stop it. Just, yes. Please, just treat her like the god she is, and don't treat her like just another athlete that's in your way. Okay, sure. That's how competitive people respond to things. You don't even get that out of kids in high school. No one does what you're asking them to do. And you wouldn't want anyone you rooted for to act that way. All right, I'm done. I just find the entire thing ridiculous. I will freely admit, I don't care that much about the conversation about the WNBA other than the hypocrisy when it comes to stuff like this. Like, the game is fine. I'll watch every now and again, but I can't lie and say I'm locked in watching W games night after night. If there is something not as interesting on TV, I'll watch it. But you guys got to just remember, they're actually athletes, and this is how athletes do things. You're never going to get them to pay deference to particularly a younger player in that way. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Hell, let's look at Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton was on the way to leading his team to the finals. And it wasn't a lot of guys, but the guys who were asked about him said he's the most overrated player in the NBA. Why? Because that's how athletes think. Whether they are living in reality or not, it's across all leagues, across gender. There's a competitive thing about athletes where they're just not going to accept that this person's much better than me or better for the league than me. It's just how it goes. Tyrese Haliburton's taking Giannis to the paint and scoring on him to win a series. He's knocking down game-winning shots. The clutch, maybe the best clutch player in the playoffs this year. And now this poll came out before the playoffs, but the thought was, he's not as good as you guys think he is. And then he went out and proved that he's actually pretty good. So, all right, done with that. All right, we will come back with hour two. If you want to get in on the show, you can, 713-780-3776. It's me and AJ till noon. You can join us. We'll be back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.